Hey, this is Hallie.
Hey, and I'm Mark.
And you're listening to the Relationship Show. Tonight, our topic is snooping, and we have a bunch of really great guests that are coming on to tell their dirty secrets and tell on themselves. I personally will dime myself out. I think Mark's ready to tell on himself.
I am. This has been a really interesting week preparing for this.
I know. It's so funny. I've been talking about it for a couple weeks leading up to the show, and absolutely every single person that I mention it to has a personal snooping horror story. Either a story about how they may have personally humiliated themselves snooping, or a story where they were busted because somebody snooped on them and found something they didn't want to find.
There's been some great ones. There's been some really funny ones, for sure. They don't all end in pain.
No, they don't. A lot of times they're anticlimactic. I think snooping a lot of the time is about, you know, just the general fear and anxiety that people have. And they just feel like if they can find some firm evidence, it'll just make them a little bit safer. And sometimes they find a little something and then they just kind of have to go home and sit with themselves and realize, like, yeah, everything's fine.
Yeah, and I uncovered a little tidbit of information by asking somebody, and it's like the lie that protects you as being the victim, in this, as being a snooper. You almost...
What do you mean? You mean the way that you tell that you found something?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
No, we'll get to that.
All right, okay, so just to start it off, I'm going to go ahead and just talk a little bit about... my personal snooping. And I have been a very snoopy person for my entire life. And I have really clear memories of... I don't have that many memories from my childhood, honestly. And it's funny that, like, three very clear memories, at least, came to me. And they were specific to snooping as a child. So one in particular... I remember being with my entire family, like, out to dinner at another family's house. And so I don't know how old I was. I have to be first grade or younger. So like 6 years old or younger. And we're at the friend's house. So I must have left the dinner table to go to the bathroom. And I'm obviously rustling through all of their bathroom drawers and their cabinets. I don't know what else. What I'm looking for, I don't know, but I've always been pretty much this snoopy. But I got busted because I cut my finger on the woman's, like, Bic razor. And I had to come out and into the, like, in front of the whole family and be like, I cut my finger on a razor. And of course, I was totally exposed because the razor was, like, in the back drawer behind, like, 300 other things. It wasn't, like, in the hand towel area or something. And they were all just like all looking at me, shaking their heads like, what is wrong with this child? And then, of course, I have another childhood snooping story. And it's, of course, I feel like almost developmental. It's the one where I found the box. Did you ever find the box that your parents have?
Oh, I definitely was looking through parental stuff.
You looked through your parents' stuff? Yeah. Well, I don't know how old I was. I don't know how old I was this time, but I was with a babysitter. And she was like a trashy babysitter. And she was egging me on. And we went up into my parents' bedroom. And we were snooping around. And I found two bits of incriminating evidence.
And what was it?
Well, first, I found condoms, which, you know, not a big deal, probably, to most people. But as a child, I was the oldest of four kids.
So you found your parents' condoms.
I found the condoms. And to me, that was the first time it had ever occurred to me that my parents may be having sexual relations besides the four times. So, of course, I was shattered and disgusted in all the feelings that I felt with that. The second thing that I found was a Playboy magazine, right? So I think it belonged to my dad. Again, not really that hardcore, not that incriminating. But the babysitter, like, proceeded to, like, go through each page. And she was kind of like a troll, this babysitter. And she went through it and she was, like, telling me, she was like, see this girl? I could do these poses. And I maybe was, like, seven, but I was like, yeah, I don't think that's the criteria. Anyway,
so
those are my childhood snooping stories that came to me as I was prepping for this show.
I hope that babysitter is not listening, because that was a pretty harsh burn.
Well, you know, maybe her hopes and dreams came true.
I sort of have a childhood thing, but it was it was reversed. It was like my mom, you know, found something of mine.
Okay, so set it up. Where were you? How old?
Okay, well, I was probably about 13, maybe, and I was at camp. All I remember is camping.
Mm-hmm.
And on the
like sleepaway camp.
Yeah, I was like away for a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay, so summer camp.
And so I'm like, I get on the phone. I mean, this is like before everybody had a phone,
right?
So it was like, I don't know. I called from a payphone. I was like, "Hey, mommy, I'm coming home. You know, we're on our way." She's like, "I found what you were hiding."
Oh God, what was it?
Well, it was like a little bit of a written erotica.
So written, like literary?
I mean, I didn't write it, but I was trying to live it.
But you read it?
Yeah. So I'm like,
there's something so endearing and sweet about that, like written erotica. It seems sophisticated.
All right, but check it out. So she's like, "I'll talk to you when you get home." You know, so it's like a 2-hour car ride home where I'm just like sitting with all the dudes. And, like,
and your heart is just broken.
I don't even know like what
she gave
I was
you the
in for.
I'm disappointed with you look over the phone.
Yeah, and left me to sort of sit in that for.
Oh.
You weren't quite sure what she
had found, right? I wasn't hiding
Cassin,
too many
who's
things.
A little bit away from the mics, is like shouting questions over. Yeah, like, I mean, that's the psychological trick of a smart woman.
I mean, it's the only thing I was
She'll
hiding.
Let you
actually.
Wonder.
What else? It's like she probably had to go through everything to find it, because like otherwise I'm
you
still
had nothing
like
to hide.
Playing with like army guys, you
right
know?
Right, you're a sweet kid. Yeah, I don't have one of those stories. My parents never really went through my stuff. They were total hippies, and as I have said before, their parenting philosophy was sort of like, if you survive, it was meant to be. As far as I can tell, that was their approach.
You mean is that a pun on them having condoms?
No. That's some good material you've got going there though.
All right. So what's next?
Well, I just want to talk about how pervasive this is. I mean, we pulled up a couple studies and the stats were pretty heavy. When it comes to snooping, there's some pretty spooky statistics. It seems like everyone kind of thinks they're so used to it, especially when it comes to like snooping on email and Facebook. Everyone kind of thinks it's okay. Let's look at these stats. 36% of adults age 18 to 34 approve of electronic snooping, while only 26% of, sorry, I got distracted. I'm getting signs that we need to pitch for money, guys. This is going to be a weird show because we really need to drum up some listener support throughout our show.
828-0290. Get your credit card ready. So, Holly.
Back to the stats part. Yeah. I'm sorry. While only 26% of adults over the age of 55 think that it's okay. That makes sense. My parents would be horrified about electronic snooping. Meanwhile, I and all of my friends, you know, I'm not saying I'm totally comfortable with it, especially not the links that some people go to, but I will say that I can't imagine somebody going on a date without at least Googling the guy first.
What would be the best case scenario is you find out the partner you're with is boring.
Yeah, I guess that is the best case scenario, which is not that amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have some personal tech horror stories. Like, really good friends of mine have gone to some pretty great lengths. A friend of a friend completely cops to monitoring her children through their cell phones. She monitors their whereabouts and she can always tell that they're lying. I have another girlfriend who was really, really afraid that her boyfriend was cheating on her and that he was still in communication with a bunch of other women from his past. And she went and got, she went to the spy shop in Manhattan, which is a real thing. And she bought a voice activated tape recorder, which she left in their apartment. So when he was home, when he would make outgoing phone calls, it would record his half of all of the conversations. It would just turn on and record him.
That's love.
Yeah, that's love. And needless to say, that's not really the warmest, fuzziest story. But technologically, there's a lot of spying going on.
Hey, if you're just tuning in, you've been listening to the Relationship Show Show. This is WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll be talking to our first guest. Don't go anywhere.
Noreen, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. So I hear you have a good snooping story for us.
Yeah, I do. I was dating this guy for about 5 or 6 weeks or so, and it was kind of getting serious, so I asked him to spend the night, and that was all well and good. And I went to work, and he stayed, and I came back from work, and he used the excuse that he cleaned my apartment. Well, when he cleaned my apartment, he actually snooped through my apartment, and he found some letters that I wrote, and the letters I wrote were to Penthouse Forum.
What?
And, oh, yeah. And they were just, it was, I was bored at work one night. It, you know, I worked in retail. It was January, and it was a night, and, you know, boring. So I was sitting there writing these letters, and well, my mistake was I used the names of my friends, my male friends, and that was a big mistake. So he was like, oh, my God, I can't believe you wrote this. Is this what you want to do? And I said, I can't believe you're looking through my stuff. He says, I did you a favor.
Oh, because he was cleaning. Right,
so
but were they fictional? They were all fictional accounts, like fantasies and stuff?
Exactly. And, you know, but some people would say, oh, I had this awesome time with these five girls.
Right,
or,
right.
You know, five guys or whatever. And, you know, so I expanded on that and went on and on and on. And he thought, oh, my God. And
that's hilarious. He got what he deserved.
Exactly. So I said, well, needless to say, you know, I need to break up with you now because I cannot trust you. And he was like, well, I can't trust you with all these guys. And I said, come on now. You know, I mean, this is crazy, you know. So
I love it. That's a perfect, that one, I think you hastened the, like, inevitable demise of that one.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for telling your story.
Down the stairs you'll creep, spying on your team.
Our next up is Lisa, and we pre-recorded her because she couldn't come in live tonight. If you feel like we're ready to go into it, I'll tell her backstory just a little bit.
I think we're ready.
Okay, so here's the deal with Lisa. This is a common story. I think a lot of people are going to relate to it. Lisa had just moved in with her boyfriend for the first time and was, for some reason, this kicked up like a bunch of insecurity. I think something about taking it to the next level freaked her out. I'm not sure why, but she just so happened to find his laptop open and he was still signed into his Facebook, and you know the rest of the story, right?
Is that snooping if you leave your Facebook open?
I think so. I mean, especially since she went in with a mission. Like, she was concerned about one particular chick from this guy's past. And of course, she hit pay dirt right away.
Remember how I said Lisa was worried about one girl in particular? According to her, this girl had major red flag written all over her.
Her Facebook picture was of herself leaning forward on a bed. So that her bare breasts were mostly noticeable. And she, you could see clearly her lace underwear behind her.
Oh, right. So, like, in the back, there was, like, a background, foreground, very clearly composed
bed picture. Yeah, no, it was, like, a professionally taken hot picture.
I love it.
Sex kitten picture.
I love
full
it.
Full red lipstick, hair done.
I love it. So she's your basic nightmare. Picture. Yeah, she's, like, everyone's nightmare.
What's her name again?
Jen.
Mark would like to ask you for some of her information after the interview.
Yeah.
Anyway, what happened? So you found that there was a conversation. Was there anything incriminating in the conversation?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there was.
Not super incriminating. You know, of course, every girlfriend can read into every little word. Like, you were flirting.
Right, right. But there was nothing super bad.
Well, he was like, oh, you look really good.
Not great. Yeah.
Yeah, that was like line one.
Right.
And the rest of it was not at all super bad. You know, like, I'm glad you're doing well, blah, blah, blah.
Right, right. Okay, so it was like Christmas letter level. Not too bad.
But it still could make you cringe.
Oh, it can totally make you cringe.
Yeah. So it was definitely like, miss you.
Oh.
You know.
Yuck.
Oh, you know. Really nice chatting with getting caught up again.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. But she had previously, when we first started dating, made heavy attempts to come up and visit because she lives in the city. They used to live in the city together, and now he lives upstate. And so she would try and come visit and call all the time.
But that hadn't actually happened. Like, he had...
That hadn't happened in, like, she hadn't called in a really long time, and she never did actually come to visit, but it was clear that she wanted him back and was interested in making trouble.
Right. So let me ask you this. Once you saw that, and you saw the conversation, like, where did your head go? Did you think you couldn't trust this guy anymore, or were you just sad and jealous, but you knew he was still trustworthy? Like, how did you feel?
I felt instantly insane. I knew that I couldn't just, or I didn't want to just say, listen, I snooped.
And right.
I went into your messages. I wanted to trap him into either confessing to me that he had had a online conversation
right.
with his ex.
how would you go about that?
I believe I said I, like, brought her up.
Oh, you just would dangle her. You'd be like, you know who has lame boobs?
Yeah. I think it was, you know, exes were not a off-limits topic.
Right, right. So you just bring her up.
I weaseled her in to conversation.
Right.
It, you know, some disparaging remark about, you know, chicks like that, blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Right.
I'm not really sure.
And did it work?
And it worked.
Oh, it worked.
Yeah. I basically said, have you talked to that chick recently? And he was like, no.
And you were like, are you sure?
Yeah. I was like, really? Not at all? Like, not even a chat? You're not Facebook friends with her or anything? Or, oh, that might have been it. Like, I might have seen that they had only befriended each other on Facebook, whereas previously they had not been Facebook friends.
I see.
And well, I pulled it out like, oh, so now you're Facebook friends with her. Not that I knew that they were talking on Facebook, like messaging each other privately. I just was stating my irritation with the fact that they would even be friends.
Right,
Facebook.
Right. And he assured you that they had not been talking.
Yeah, and he said no.
So then what did you do?
Then I proceeded to describe in detail my complete horror with her Facebook picture.
And how so you just dumped on her and you were hoping that he would then confess.
Yeah, just like basically saying, I don't want you to be friends with anybody on Facebook who would put out a profile picture of like a softcore porn shot.
I have a question. If he had confessed to you and said, yes, he had been talking to her, did you have a plan in place? Like, what would you have said?
I think it would have just been to flip out and say how uncool it is.
Right,
and
right.
How,
right.
You know, I'm not comfortable with
yeah.
being friends. Or
I have to almost interrupt you there because I think that's the heart of it. Mark, wouldn't you agree? Like, I think these stories, I think basically what people kind of deep down want is the entree to flip out.
Yeah.
Like, you're kind of waiting for that moment where then you can just totally unload and call them on everything.
Yeah. Well, I think if he had been able to be upfront with you in the first place, instead of hiding behind some lie,
yeah,
it would have showed you respect to the point where it was like he was bringing it back to you. You're with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's bringing you his love, and she was just maybe
you think it would have defused it.
I think it would have been. I don't know if it would have defused it or not, but it would have been easier in the long run if he had just been like, oh yeah,
oh totally,
yeah, I did,
oh totally, yeah. But this, I think we're gonna hear this story again and again tonight. All the people that we talk to are gonna have similar stories where you're like, why didn't you just tell it, dude? But we're running kind of long, so let's get to what you actually did.
So eventually I pulled it out of him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And how did you do that?
I think I just, like, was merciless with the, like...
the innuendo?
Yeah, like, the I don't believe for a second that you are newly friends with your ex-girlfriend on Facebook and you haven't messaged her and had a little conversation. Like, I just don't believe that.
Oh, you just
like,
went on and on.
Lying to me. And I just beat that down for, like, a week.
Uh-huh.
And just kind of gave him the evil eye.
And what did he get? What did you get out of it?
Yeah, well, we did have, you know, a little stupid conversation, but it was nothing.
Right.
And finally I was like, aha!
You're like, I saw that wink in your eye. You're lying to me.
I think I did say that. I think I said, I can see you lying. I can tell by the look on your face.
Oh.
Like, I have some lie superpower.
Yeah, such a girl ninja.
No, not ninja. She already knew.
No, exactly. But that's what women do, Mark. It's not that we don't already know. It's that we will just break you down. All right. So what I want to get to now, though, is that A plus B does not always equal C. Because what I think is interesting about your story is that you actually do trust your dude. He just kind of has fallen prey to something that I think a lot of guys do, which is they sometimes lie when they just don't know how to handle uncomfortable things. And it doesn't mean that because they told that little lie in that wussy moment.
Can I say that they're not all just guys that do that?
No, it isn't. Women. It's women too.
Yeah, thank you.
It's women too, and I'm sorry. But my point is, it doesn't mean that that person is an evil cheater with like a secret wife. It just means that they lied about that thing that was difficult for them to just tell the truth about. And so it doesn't mean you have to throw away a relationship just because of some little thing like this.
Yeah, so, also, it's not like he's cheating, but he's also not telling you the truth to not hurt you. And, like, that is definitely a guy thing, though.
That is a guy thing. Talk a little more about that, Mark?
Well, I don't know too much about that, but I think that it's a certain thing where you, like, kind of hold the truth, especially you have a relationship with somebody with the past or mm-hmm, whoever mm-hmm. you are, and you have a sort of anxious, mm-hmm. jealous, sort of maybe somewhat possessive somebody.
Yep.
And plus, in Lisa's case, she's getting married something. And, yep. like, you know, like, everything has to be perfect, and, you know, you want things to just, like, be flowing and, you know, this, like... you know, like, as you put it, red flag, boob shot, Facebook comes into your, you know, your peripheral. you can't always trust your better judgment, I suppose.
I get it. Well, you know, it reminds me that I have done this. You know, it isn't just a guy thing. I was with a really jealous guy, and he was so, you know, there were things that I would just lie about because it was like, it's not an issue, and he's going to find it threatening, and I just didn't know how to handle it. Anyway, Lisa, how did it go on? Do you continue to snoop on this guy?
No, actually.
You don't?
I don't. Happily don't. It progressed into me, you know, reading his emails into like 2003.
You went on a deep dig.
Yeah, and like reading journal entries.
Oh, God.
Finding out like every detail I didn't need to know.
Mm-hmm.
It got to the point where I just couldn't control myself checking the Facebook.
So it just became like messages. A compulsive move that you would make over and over?
Yeah. And it got to a point where he was like, I don't really want you using my computer if you're just going to snooping. He started to get suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
The jig was up pretty much, even though I'd never admitted to having checked his email. I think I eventually did admit to looking on his messages on his Facebook.
Lisa, can I ask you a question? Do you have contacts with some of your exes that maybe you're a little more risky with, that maybe you think he's guilty of?
Actually, no, because my main major ex is nuts, and I don't want anything to do with him. It's so for me, it's really easy, and I think part of the reason I was so incensed is his ex is also nuts, and he wasn't content to just let sleeping crazy women lie. And so he... You know,
he continued to be in touch.
Draw out the stupid drama with the crazy ex.
Lisa, we have to wrap it up with you. So I just want to ask, how were you able to stop, and how are you able to have a good relationship, basically, in a quick, like, 1 minute wrap up?
Okay. So basically, I confided in Hallie what was going on, and she basically helped me to kind of make a pact with her. I made a pact with her and with my boyfriend to stop snooping. Mm-hmm. And it took a couple of tries. I think there was like, I made the pact and then I went back on it, I think once.
Right.
And I confessed to her and not to him that I had broken my pact. But then I think it just, you know, realizing that once I had taken in someone's confidence outside of the relationship that I respected, like, I was okay lying to him, but I wasn't really okay with it. It definitely made me ill, but
right.
To get what I wanted, like the information I wanted, it was okay. But to lie to someone outside of the relationship whose, you know, friendship I really respected, and that made it...
It helped you stick to it.
Yeah, it helped me stick to it. And then after, you know, being a little bit crazy for a while and wanting to snoop and not doing it, I would talk it out with Hallie and just kind of... talk myself down, like basically realizing if he wants to be in contact with this other girl or other women in general, it's going to eventually be known to me, and
right.
That, you know, things will disintegrate naturally.
Right. You're not going to be blindsided by this.
Yeah. And
well, that doesn't sound like a very uplifting point to end on, but I do agree that, I mean, the truth is, if the fundamentals of your relationship are intact, there's no need for you to continually seek out painful information that is ultimately meaningless.
Yeah. Plus, it was just the torture factor.
Like, yeah, that's what it was.
Can't torture myself endlessly.
Right.
Searching for details and things to nitpick and things to be jealous on. And it literally made me insane. And the insecurity level was so high.
Right.
And if it came to the settling point for me was, you know, be okay with yourself and be okay with who you are in the relationship. And to do that, I had to stop snooping, because who wants to be with somebody like that anyway? I mean, that's just not an attractive member of a relationship.
That's very perfectly put. And I feel like that's a really good point to end on. Thank you so much for talking to us, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
I was happy in the haze of a drunken hour, but heaven knows I'm miserable now. I was looking for a job, and then I found a job, and heaven knows I'm miserable now in my life.
Tonight our topic is snooping, and I should let you know we have a really, really good guest expert later in the show who's really basically just going to chime in to let us know if we're all nuts or not. He's going to let us know like what really constitutes crossing the line and what he thinks is, you know, normal snooping behavior. So you're going to want to stick around for that.
Was that Lisa we just...
That was Lisa, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think about what happened here? You guys are friends.
Yeah, we're friends. I feel like she handled it, which is pretty intense. I think she's a good example, because usually when women become, well, and I only know women, because they're the ones that want to tell me their secrets, as it turns out. But when they usually get to that level of obsession with snooping, it's really hard to come back from. Usually it kind of dooms the relationship. And in her case, it didn't, because she literally like counted days off of it. Like, she was going cold turkey on any other addiction. And that's what worked. She just had to have like zero tolerance for it. Because the truth is, he's a decent guy. And there's just something that she was getting out of it, like this illusion of control. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've definitely been there. And I that's why I was able to give her, you know, that advice, just because I definitely have been there.
I was leading on a bit there that she maybe was up to no good herself.
Right,
that's
right.
Why she maybe was looking.
Well, I mean, it's not a bad theory. Certainly the reason I never used to trust any of the men I was with is because I wasn't trustworthy. But I think there are other reasons. Sometimes people just have trauma. You know, it's not that fun, but sometimes people have old stuff, and it filters kind of the way they see the world.
Also, I suppose in a relationship, it's probably very important to make rules that you can live by.
That's right. That's true. And, you know, what's hard is like a lot of times early on in a relationship, when you're both pretending to be somebody else, quite often.
Oh, the better side.
You set up an expectation that's totally unrealistic, which may be something like, I never talked to anybody from my past, you know?
Mm, and if you do, I am going to be pissed.
Exactly. I mean, I had... I'll just go ahead into another personal humiliation story, because why not? What got me off snooping once and for all was bottoming out on it. And of course, the way that I bottomed out on it was going like a crazed animal through the box. And I found every guy pretty much that I ever was with had the box. But it was this last guy who had... he had a box. Inside the box were, I found some naked pictures of a girl who we were both acquainted with, who was his ex-girlfriend and my pretty casual friend, but she was kind of a frenemy. I knew they'd been together forever. She was with someone else now. You know, there was a real threat, but there was that threat of, this is just freaky to me, and this is a naked picture of her. Right?
Was it a good picture, though?
I felt some feelings, definitely.
I saw the picture.
Yeah, I saw the picture, and before I could really think about what I was doing, I took the picture out of the little photo envelope, put it through the shredder, and put it right back in the photo envelope, and then put it in the box, and then sat down and went, oh no, I'm so busted.
That's pretty cool, though.
Soon as I knew that it was all shredded, I was like, I had to face the music. And, you know, that was a really humiliating moment. And, you know, I think I just got so sick of that, because the truth is that guy was really into me. He wasn't really into his ex-girlfriend. He just, guys have some weird stuff, and I'm not going to totally get into analyzing the naked picture thing. But I feel like they have a really hard time letting go of them, and it doesn't necessarily mean what we think it means all the time.
Yeah, it's like, what do you throw away? So you have the poem that somebody gave you.
Right, and, maybe you and do. Then,
or it's like what Noreen's story, you know, finding the worst letter you could ever find.
The dirtiest letter.
And thinking it's real.
Ugh, that's
but,
the worst.
You know, I think it's a, well, I don't know, it is what it is.
Mark. That's you loved sharing. You love sharing in like a super vague sort of this is, you know, let's just analyze vaguely. But don't you have any personal stories?
Yeah. Well, of course. I
go on.
And I know I'm not like super close to all my exes, but I say we still are OK
mm-hmm.
with each other.
Right.
There was this one time. And we actually were together for quite a while. It was, but before, I was helping this woman move in. I had done some work for her. She was actually, I was employed by her, and I was moving boxes in. And she's like, "Oh, that box, don't look in that box." And then I was like, "Oh, we had a little laugh." Like she was, blah 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 blah.
So you acknowledge that she had a secret box.
It was
you
like
laughed
a,
about it,
right? Because we were friends, or like not even friends,
right?
So, ha ha ha.
How long between the ha leaving your mouth and you digging through the box like a crazed animal?
Like a year.
Oh, my congratulations on your self control.
Oh.
Whoa. Anyway, you dug through it. What happened?
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't a good idea. I also made all these sort of things in my head where it wasn't a good idea for her to have it, too. Like I just couldn't. I was all of a sudden living outside the box.
Mark, that was really really lame.
I'm trying not to be vague.
You're being more vague than usual.
So what are you asking me?
I'm asking you, like, how did you feel? What were you looking for?
I just wanted everything from her.
Yeah, I wanted,
that's what I wanted. So when it's a struggle for, I guess me. It's a struggle for me sometimes to not be the only one.
Right. I think that's tough for people.
Yeah.
For me, I feel like it's more, I would almost say it's like you already have a terrible theory and you're just looking for evidence, like to cook it all the way down to like its ugliest form, I would say, looking for proof of my own inadequacy.
Uh-huh.
You know? But it's like whatever your darkest sort of lowest thought, you're just looking for a little nugget to throw in that basket to be like, see, I told you.
Or also, you know, you could be closing those doors as well and getting rid of, you know, like, again, what do you throw away? Do you throw away that really awesome picture of that sexy someone, you know, even though, like, you're hiding it from your new sexy someone?
Well, I think that that's, you know, each relationship has its own rules, because I do know a couple where they really did get rid of all that stuff together. And I had really mixed feelings. It happened a long time ago. And I, at the time, I wasn't in a place where I could really understand or respect that. I thought, oh, that's awful. That's some controlling behavior on the part of, you know, one partner, I figured. But the guy, he said, yeah, you know, I just had to get really honest about what I was getting out of it. What I was still getting out of maintaining those relationships, what I was still getting out of keeping those letters around. And he thought about it and he was like, yeah, not cool. I'm going to let go of it. And it really stuck with me. I just thought it was an interesting and very honest approach.
I'm enjoying being single. I know the last show we talked about it a little bit, and I want to talk about it a little bit more, but maybe not just right now.
There's no one to snoop on when you're single, right? Is that one of the upsides?
Yeah.
There's no one to snoop on you?
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I like to look around through all my stuff and throw it away and treat it as if it's in my way.
You really do like to wander around conversationally, Mark.
What's next? What do we got going on?
What is next? All right, I think we should go to a quick break. But when we come back, we'll be talking to one of my favorite experts, marriage and family therapist, Jeff Palitz. Don't go anywhere. This is the Relationship Show Show. I know where you live, yeah.
Hey, I'm Hallie.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And you're listening to the Relationship Show Show. We're here tonight with our special guest expert, Jeff Palitz, who is a marriage and family therapist from San Diego. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Hallie. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Jeff.
Thanks for being here. Jeff is one of my favorite sources. I've used him for a bunch of articles in various women's magazines. And I just love talking to him because he always has really great advice, but you also really get that he's a real person with a wife and kids. And there's just something about that that makes me so much more willing to take his advice. So as a parent, let me just start with this. As a parent, what do you think about the level of parent snooping that's going on? Do you have any opinions on like what's too far?
I don't think very many things are too far, to be honest with you.
Really?
If you're not snooping as a parent the way things are today, you're foolish.
Right.
There's so much to be concerned about with, you know, internet and Facebook and Twitter and texting and sexting. And I mean, it's, you really need to pay attention as a parent. So I encourage parents to.
Well, what do you think about things like tracking, you know, say tracking your children's whereabouts via their phone, which I know quite a few parents do. What do you think about that?
You know, it's a difficult topic because if you talk to teenagers, you know, their whole thing is they want to be trusted, and there are many who are worthy of that trust. But, man, I'll tell you, it would be, I think it's really hard to resist that temptation with the technology available.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about what many of us did when we were younger, when the technology wasn't available.
Exactly.
I think it's very hard not to just do it anyway and tell your kids, hey, listen, you know, don't do anything that you're not supposed to do and it won't be a problem.
Right. Well, I think that you just touched on something that is kind of a through line with snooping. And that is that the temptation is so great, especially since now as a parent, you may truly have a noble cause to sort of throw over all of it. And I might not even argue that. As a romantic partner, although you can trump up a noble cause, you may not have one, but the temptation is great. So let's just go ahead and jump right into romantic partners.
All right.
As a therapist, you must hear like flare-ups and problems that involve snooping.
Absolutely. And, you know, most of those are in the context of infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone has found out that their partner has been unfaithful, and the aftermath of that is emails and text messages and you name it, receipts, wallets, car. And, you know, in that particular context, at the beginning, I have to say I actually encourage it.
Really?
Because I think, again, this is at the beginning. If this is something that's a relatively new discovery, part of the trust process is for the betrayed partner to feel like they're partner's an open book, and we'll let them look whenever they want at whatever they want.
Right.
And in the hopes that as time goes on, they're not going to find anything, and the desire to look is going to wane.
Okay.
But, you know, it happens other ways, too, where people are just insecure or maybe even just curious.
This is what I have even more experience with, because I think we do all know, you know, the couple where there has been infidelity and it just sets off this kind of ravenous, you know, appetite for snooping. But more often with my friends and my personal relationships, what I've found is that that appetite is there. Maybe there hasn't been like a trauma that makes sense that set it off, but there's an obsession to snoop, and it's very difficult to quit once they've started.
Yeah, that is definitely true. I think it's something that, you know, especially if you find even like a little tidbit of information, you know, you want to know more and more and more. And I guess, you know, maybe it's Pollyanna-ish of me. My hope in a healthy relationship is that people are really open with each other.
Right.
And ideally, I think I would say, well, you've got nothing to hide. You don't care if your partner's snooping, but
right.
It certainly can be unhealthy. There's no doubt about that.
Right. Well, I guess if someone came to you and this is going on, like one of them is really, really snooping, is it easy? I mean, is your first thought then like, okay, well, there must be just more core issues. Why is there no trust here? Like what do you ask? Like, where can you take it so that something constructive can happen?
Well, the first thing I want to know, and I'd want that person to ask himself or herself, is what are you getting out of it, you know?
Yeah.
Because that is, usually that's a question that if it's answered honestly, we start to get it at the root of what's behind it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because usually there's going to be some kind of insecurity or past hurt. Not always, I guess, but I don't think that people do it just for fun, you know? I mean, there's usually some sort of fear driving it.
Oh, I agree with you completely. I don't think it's fun, but I do think that they are getting something out of it, and I think it's really a fix.
Absolutely, and look, that can be different things. For some people, it's excitement. You know, it's a risk. It's, am I going to get caught? Am I doing something that's, you know, taboo or that's wrong or something like that? It's behind this person's back, and it's exciting for me to have sort of this inside knowledge of things that they don't know I'm doing. And you can imagine how destructive that can be for a relationship if it comes to light.
Absolutely.
It's very damaging to trust. And you know, while it's certainly normal to want a certain level of privacy, even in the context of a relationship, you know, when you're too private, I think that also can tempt people to go looking, even if there's not necessarily something there.
Right. Well, that's really interesting. So is there, I mean, how would you define, like, the sort of line between normal curiosity and like maybe a little disordered behavior?
Well, that's a really tough question. It's something that is going to be on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
You know, as with anything, you might want to say, well, can you stop?
Right.
Is it something that if you made the choice today, you know what, this is not a good thing for me or for my relationship, or I'm not getting anything out of it, or what I'm getting out of it isn't healthy, can I stop? And if I set a limit for myself and I break that limit, just as you would with, you know, alcohol or anything else, I mean, that's a very important sign that you're doing something that is becoming obsessive and perhaps even addictive.
I love that. I think that's so insightful. I mean, because it's like, it's how, you know, you don't diagnose someone else as an alcoholic. Somebody needs to go and try some controlled drinking and do some experiments, try to stop. That's how you're able to diagnose. And I think that's a really insightful point you made. Thank you.
Well, listen, with anything like that, and whether it's a substance abuse or any kind of repetitive behavior, that some of the same dynamics are involved, right? Like denial.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, oh, this isn't a problem, right? I just look at his phone sometimes, or I just, you know, so I checked her email, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so people have to be able to have some insight, you know, and look within themselves and say, what am I doing here?
Well, I have a question for you. Because as someone who, I don't have that in my romantic relationship. I have a really, really good sort of level of trust with my husband. And
I'm pleased to hear that.
That's just not a thing for me, although I have many, many other things. However, I'm a very, yeah, we will. We'll continue to talk throughout my career, I hope. I continue to be a very snoopy person in general. And I mean, from the time that I was really little, I was like, if I went to anybody's house, I was going through their drawers, looking in their medicine cabinet. And I'm still that way, to a degree, not the same, not quite as intensely as when I was a child. But I brought it up to my analyst because I thought, you know, part of this is my just sort of inquisitive nature. I'm a reporter. I love people. I'm so intrigued by them. But there's another part of it. I said to her, what am I getting out of this? And her theory was there's a certain codependent element there. She was like, if you're just curious and if you're just looking, that's one thing. But if you're hoping to find some nugget of information that you can somehow leverage to get what you want out of a person or use to manipulate, that's a codependent behavior. And I was like, oh, I might be doing that. Do you have any theories on this?
Well, look, I think that that's certainly a valuable perspective, right?
I mean,
what you're looking for is nuggets of information to hold against the person in any kind of relationship,
right.
You know, whether it's a friendship or a family relationship, then there's something to be concerned about, right? I mean, there's
right.
a lack of trust. There's a power dynamic there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do think sometimes also, though, that there's, beyond natural curiosity, that there's, I was going to say a sense of self-importance, but maybe that's not exactly accurate. I'm just thinking, you know, what it feels like to know something that other people don't know, or to know something about this particular person that other people in their life might not know.
That's,
you know, it's like snooping
right.
through the medicine cabinet and finding out what medications they take. Ooh, they're on an antidepressant. You know, they're not perfect, which is, you know, that's the other thing, right, is we all have skeletons, and if I know some of yours, maybe mine aren't so bad.
That's pretty much what I think. I think that really is a good way of putting it, because I'm not ever actually looking for something to, like, leverage in the true sense, like blackmail someone, you know. It's more what you said. Like, it's like I, and this is on a subconscious level, but I do think of it like it's that. It's like I want to know things that other people don't know. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you could ask yourself, well, what does that say about me? You know, is that a negative thing? Is it a positive thing? Is it just a thing? I don't know. I mean, certainly if there are cases where it's a violation of someone's privacy,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's,
you can
judge that.
You might want to look at that. That's what she would say to me.
Remind me not to have you, or to hide my stuff when you, if you ever come over to my place.
That's right. Don't have me house sit. You wouldn't like it. All right, so let me just flip it really quick. I and several of my friends have very clear memories of spying on our parents. As a parent, any thoughts?
Oh, man. To me, that's just about one of the most normal behaviors there is. You know, of course, you sometimes hear horror stories of children finding out things that they just wish they hadn't.
Right.
I don't know if you're interested in a quick anecdote about that, but
I am indeed.
well, my wife, I want to say she was a teenager, and her parents had this box in their room that they kept locked, and she and her boyfriend were snooping around one day, and her boyfriend, it had a combination on it. Her boyfriend somehow, it was something really simple, like all zeros or something like that,
okay.
And it popped open. And you can guess what was inside. You know, it was toys and all sorts of sexual paraphernalia. And, you know, this is probably 25 years ago. I'm pretty sure my wife's still not over it.
Right.
You know, and this is, her parents are pretty, were pretty conservative people, you know.
Right,
so
right.
But look, I do think it's really normal for children to be curious about their parents. And you think about it, especially, I mean, parents are, for children, sort of their window into the future. Like, what's it like to be a grown-up? And, and what do these people do? What, you know, because all I see of them is the authority or the work person or the taskmaster. And what makes them, like, human beings, you know?
Right. Right. I absolutely. And I think that I almost wonder if it's like a developmental stage. I feel like everyone has this story. And it's like when they snooped and they see their parents through different eyes, there's like a humanness that was revealed in that snooping that they very rarely were ready to learn about.
Right, right.
And they really couldn't put it back in the in the box, so to speak.
That's right. Although I'd like to hope, I mean, that's what you call child-proofing right there. I mean, if you want your kids to stop snooping, leave your sex toys obvious.
That's perfect. Well, I don't know. Do you, I mean, I don't know. That might be a pretty great way to leave it. Do you have any follow-up questions for him, Mark?
No, I don't have any questions, but I really want to thank you. And because Hallie and I were talking about the box, quote unquote.
We've spoken about the box at length earlier, so it's really amazing that you told us an anecdote about a box. I definitely found my parents' box.
My wife's going to kill me.
Oh, no. I think your wife knows what she's in for with you.
You're probably right.
She knows that you, like, store up the great anecdotes and dole them out.
That's why I married her.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. I really appreciate it. You're one of my favorite experts, and I will definitely come to you again with more questions.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Hallie. Anytime.
Thanks, Jeff. You've been trailing me, baby, all over town, sneaking and peeking, running your mouth, all because I done put you out. You've been spying on me, and ever since I set you free, you've been spying on me.
I'm Hallie.
And I'm Mark, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXE, Acre, Hudson, Catskill, Canaan, Germantown, Athens, everywhere else.
So what did you think about that expert, Mark?
I'm very, very excited about having the expert. Hallie, thank you for finding him.
How about the fact that I try to, like, weasel some free therapy out of him toward the end? I'm always like, here's a hypothetical.
I know. I thought of a question after the fact.
What would you have asked him?
Well, I didn't know quite how to word it exactly.
Yeah.
But I was going to ask him if we were crazy for doing this.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we're about to have a bunny break. Is that accurate, Bunny? Or are you just going to play a little music back there?
I'm ready.
Yeah, he's here.
All right,
here.
Get mic'd up. What would you...
I don't have any headphones.
All right, can you turn his mic on?
I did. I turned his mic on an hour ago.
He needs more headphones.
That's how technically savvy we are, Bunny. Your mic has been waiting for you for an entire hour live.
Hey, so Dan, Bunny, how's the record store going?
It's going well. It's going really well.
I love that place.
I gave some gift certificates for Pledge Premium.
Did you? What are they for?
They're for $20 a piece.
Cool. So what's your minimum donation that you're asking?
I can't remember. Jess could tell you better.
All right, cool.
But they are in the system if you are
fans. Premiums floating around.
If you're
right
a fan
now.
Of records.
If you don't know anything, Dan has a record store in Hudson at the park. It's John Doe Books and Records. And
we're getting ready for some serious Casio beautiful music going on over here, too.
Dan, you got any snooping stories?
What's that?
You got any stories about snooping?
Snooping? Snooping?
Yeah.
Our topic is snooping, Dan Money.
Oh, wow.
Think about it. We got a pledge drive going on, folks. 697-7400. Also, this is the relationship show, and we got another interview coming up. There's a caller going to be calling.
I think I'm probably going to call her after the Casio musical interlude. It might be distracting. Call me kooky.
Yeah. Call me kooky. Call
me. If you have money, you should give it to the radio station. What are you going to do? Buy a $4.99 app in the iPhone app store to track your lover?
Is
do you want to track your lover with GPS? You can go to Google Latitude and install that on their telephone while they're not looking. And then anytime they make a move, you can get to see where they are within 200 feet of you. That means if you're trying to get close to them or if you're trying to run away, you know exactly where they are. It's good for children, too. If you're snooping on the kids, Google Latitude. Very easy to install. Runs in the background of the Google Maps program.
No.
So no one even knows it's on.
Implications.
Wait, Google is not a supporter of this radio station.
No. Nope.
I'm pretty sure. But you can be.
But they're making it easier to find people who you're suspiciously suspicious of.
Be a supporter. 697-7400.
Yeah. You know what's good is you get some charcoal, and when somebody has ripped the top pad piece of paper off of a notepad, you take some charcoal, and there's some impression underneath from where their pencil or pen went down, and you just rub a little chalk on there, and it comes up bright as day. You can see every phone number and direction that they just wrote down on that pad, leaving an indent. You just brush a little of that charcoal over there, and you can read the entire address.
697-7400. Everybody.
Another hot tip from Dan Bunny.
I've been in this business a long time.
Straight from the cartoons.
Don't leave your Gmail open around me.
If you don't know, Dan's got the Battlefield Earth show. Dan, when's that on?
That's Tuesday nights at 9:30. This Tuesday night at 9:30, we'll be doing the special pledge drive edition of the Battlefield Earth program.
Ooh. Awesome.
Yep. That has a lot of hijinks, a lot of special guests.
I think I was at the last one.
Yeah,
I'd like to piggyback on what Dan Money just said. You know, he said, don't leave your Gmail open around
me.
And I have to say, you really should lock your medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
Don't let me come into your house.
Don't let Haley.
I will browse
Hallie.
Your medicine
How do you
cabinet.
Pronounce your name?
I can't help it.
Haley?
It's pathological.
Hallie?
It's Hallie.
Hallie. Listen.
Just call me Kelly. Like
Hallie, don't leave
Starbucks
your medicine cabinet open.
So, I'm going to give the phone number away because...
518-828-0290. If you have a pledge, this is the time to do it.
Jess Puglisi has been beating us over with a stick, the pledge drive stick. She wants to get this money
well,
and
she
get
feels
this
that you're
with.
Not dynamic enough. That's what I heard.
Let's get this
She said that there was a lethargy in here that she could cut with a butter knife. And you know how sharp a butter knife is, don't you? You can barely get through butter with that stupid thing. 518-828-0290. This is a very simple number for you to remember. You can call in with some of your beer money. Money you saved last night for not buying somebody else a beer. Mm-hmm. What you did is you put the money on the bar and then you kind of shoveled it under your beer to make it look like you had already paid, probably around 2 o'clock in the morning, somewhere around there. So take that money and give it to us at 518-828-0290. Operators are standing by. We've got about 4 or 5 people out there. The show, relationship show is a brainchild of Mark and Ms. Goodman.
That's right.
And they are trying to get people's inner workings outside their bodies onto the air and into your ears. So
That's
you
right.
know what to do next
I'll draw
time.
Draw you a map of that entire path.
Yeah. Well, also, Dan introduced us. We didn't know each other.
Yes.
That's
so.
True.
A,
Dan Bunny
This was a dream. I was lying.
Dream team.
I was lying in a field last summer, a couple summers ago, and I said, there needs to be a dating show with this crew, these two, who can get in here and tell you both sides of things. It's not just the female perspective we need on the show. We need the male perspective as well. It's like Andy Rooney and Liz Taylor.
Oh, it's just like that.
Yeah.
I don't know who Andy Rooney is.
Well, he's passed away, but he was on TV for about 60 years.
Oh, that's a 2020.
He was on 60 Minutes.
60 Minutes.
Yeah, he was always complaining about something.
Andy Rooney and Liz Taylor.
Yeah.
Always something, what a sexy couple.
Something stuck in his craw on 60 Minutes. But 518-828-0290. I want to see those phones lit up 23 or so minutes before the hour of whatever o'clock. I set my clock backwards and forwards this morning. I didn't know where I was. Fell out of my bed. I thought I was in Tokyo. And now
honey, I sprung forward and was here on the phone lines at 9 a.m.
Ridiculous.
Whoa, 828-0290. We got premiums, folks. Call
no wonder
us.
All the good donuts are gone.
We're asking for your money.
I don't eat anything delicious. Haven't you heard? I've been on that diet for a while.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Nothing delicious for 6 months.
518-828-0290 will get your pledge directly in support of the relationship show. Not to be confused with the Karen Schomer Shomer.
Karen Schomer Show.
That's another show that's on the air.
And we have one more person that has a story waiting for us. Do you think we should go ahead and make a call to our last girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably should get some important inside advice. If you have any questions for me before I...
I would love to.
You
has
okay?
Has anyone ever spied on you?
I'm sure. I'm easily spyable upon.
Did anyone ever spy on you and it resulted in a confrontation?
Yeah, we went.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I
used to keep just bucket loads of ex-girlfriends' artifacts lying around the house.
Right.
And for some reason, there was a pair of Doc Martens in the house from an ex-girlfriend. I don't know why I didn't get rid of them. But there was also some Polaroid photos of her.
Oh, I bet there were.
Along with that. And I came home one day and there was a bonfire.
Bonnie is a bit of an amateur photographer.
There was a bonfire in the middle of the driveway with her boots and the pictures.
So she handled it.
That my current girlfriend had lit it on fire while I was at work.
I like it.
Were you sad?
What was I going to do? You can't blame her.
No.
It wasn't a relationship I was currently having or trying to reignite, so mm-hmm. It wasn't like I was going back to put those boots back on her.
Yeah, that backs up my hypothesis, really. I mean, often I say that guys hold on to things, and it's not that
well,
they have any rotten intentions.
It's the hunting and gathering of men.
It's the hunting and gathering.
They hunt, and then they gather.
This is the gathering portion where they file it.
They create a museum in their closet mm-hmm. or under their bed.
Yeah.
And they occasionally look back and stimulate their imaginations. And I don't know how you're going to excise that out from the DNA of men in the future.
I don't believe it's possible.
But certainly you should be a little more sensitive to somebody finding anything.
Right.
And now in the age of digital copies of everything, I guess you should be careful there as well. Because that's permanent record stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Especially stuff that's on the internet. Fortunately, I've given up. Google it. It's all over. I'm never going to get a government job.
Right.
Yeah, if you look into your girlfriend's phone and you find out that she's screwing your best friend. Then
why did you have to take it downtown like that?
Then I think...
Yeah.
I don't feel like that's radio-friendly language.
That wasn't the
Mark.
Professional attitude that we expect here at 518-828-0290. Send your quarters, your money. This is money that you could normally spend on gasoline and food for the baby, but this month you should be spending it on WGXC's fun drive. We don't want to be here all night long, but we will stick it out. 518-828-0290, Mark.
Yeah, okay, so this is the relationship show. We got another phone call to make, and we're going to be right back. Thank
you
so much.
We're definitely going to be enjoying the Casio beats. As we go to that call.
All right. That's
thank
Dan
you
Bunny.
For all of your showing.
Thank you
show.
So much, Dan.
It's a wonderful show. Had a good time.
John Doe Books and Records. That girl's a bum. She's crafty. She gets around. She's crafty. She's always down. She's crafty. You know she's got it great. She's crafty. And she's just my type.
Trione, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we successfully have you on the line. It's a miracle.
Yes!
Well, I was afraid to handle calls live on the air, and that's why. But you know what? It's all downhill from here, I guess. From now on, we'll be able to smoothly put them on the air, let's hope. All right, darling. So the reason that we wanted to have you on the show is because you have a snooping story that's actually really unusual in that snooping actually brought two people together. So hit the ground running and let me know the story.
Okay, here we go. And I should be able to say this pretty quickly because I've shamelessly repeated this to many, many people.
Fantastic.
Okay, so my good friend Johanna moved out to San Francisco about 2 years ago to work for one of the very big tech companies that is there. And she met very early on this wonderful, wonderful individual named Vlad, short for Vladimir. And they were just like instant friends, got along so well. There was such great chemistry. It was the kind of thing where you're just like excited simply to be around the other person. Only catch was he had a fiance who also worked at this tech company, but who was currently living in India. So they were able to develop this really great friendship without her in the picture.
Right.
And they would talk about her once in a while and be like, oh, yeah, and, you know, Johanna, I guess, would sometimes try and Skype with her when Vlad was talking to her. But it was kind of like no one really wanted to touch the subject of, like, is this going to be weird when she comes back? So she comes back from India, and Johanna makes a very concerted effort to become good friends with her because she wants it to be okay for them all to be able to hang out together and to make a good impression with this girl and also to prove, like, hey, I'm really good friends with your fiance, but I'm not messing around, not doing anything bad, you know, like, purely platonic. So they actually end up getting along really well. Sasha ends up asking Johanna to be her maid of honor, which for me was the first red flag. Like, well, where are all of your other friends who you've known more than, like, a month? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So she asked to be her maid of honor. They go and do, like, fun girl things every Sunday, like, get manicures and go to brunch and stuff. And Johanna did kind of, like, pedal back on some of the hangout time with Vlad just to, like, make sure that everything was okay. But, you know, there would be the times when they would be really excited to get to hang out one-on-one, you know, just like if Sasha was off doing something else or whatever. And they would always end up, you know, staying up really late and, you know, just one night they hiked up a mountain at like 3 a.m. or something, which I guess is the fun of living in San Francisco. But the kind of stuff that, like, I don't know, maybe if I were Sasha, I wouldn't be totally jazzed about my fiance doing. But, like, no questions asked, this happened. So one Halloween, Johanna and Sasha go to this party together, and there are, you know, just, like, tons of people. But afterwards, for whatever reason, Sasha turns to Johanna, and they're quite drunk at this point, and she says, you know what, can I kiss you? Can we just go ahead and do this? And Johanna, you know, wants to make everyone happy. So she's like, oh, yeah, totally, that's fine, whatever. And they make out. That's great. Next day, Johanna gets an email from Sasha saying, basically, I want to do this. She was like, I think we should continue down this road. I really enjoyed last night, and this, you know, like, let's do this. This is something we should continue moving forward. Johanna was really uncomfortable because she was like, well, I don't want to piss this girl off because she's an intense lady. She's got the personality that's kind of like, this is something I want, I'm going to get it. And so Johanna, as nicely as she could, was like, I'm not sure that's a good idea. Let's just be friends. I don't want to confuse, you know, anything. At this point, of course, Sasha doesn't know that, like, Johanna and Vlad are totally falling in love with each other. And now, like, there's this bizarro love triangle that has been created. So
right.
She thinks it's going to be fine. But then every time they go out, Sasha kind of, like, will start playing footsie with Johanna and kind of, like, touching her or, like, giving her these really bizarre looks. Sometimes she'll send her text messages that, like, are not okay for me to say on the air.
Oh, man.
Basically, you know, like,
she just keeps pushing the envelope.
Exactly. So Johanna's just freaking out. She totally kind of pushes back and pushes away from Sasha. Cancels the maid of honor duty, but
okay.
Of course, Johanna still has to plan the best
bachelorette party for whatever reason. Ugh. So at this point, she's like, wow, it's really my friend. That's who I want to hang out with. Let's just have joint bachelor and bachelorette parties. So they put together this whole big thing in Palm Springs. They go out with all of their friends, you know, lots of alcohol and other goofy substances, and they are, you know, just having a great time. Johanna, one night, finally decides that she needs to tell Brett what's going on. Because at this point, he's also had some fucking moments where he's like, you know, I wish I had met you first.
Oh,
I love
no.
you so much, but, like, I know it can't be you because this is happening now. And it's like, ah! So she tells him, she's like, this weird thing happened to Sasha in October. And I just need you to know, like, nothing happened in the end. But it was this goofy thing. I need to get it off my chest.
Right, right.
You know, her motivations, I think we could definitely look into further. But
I mean,
was,
the
like,
fact that she even waited, it shows enormous restraint.
Oh, absolutely. Because so that happened in October. The bachelorette party was mid-August, I believe, or maybe early August. And this is like about a month before the wedding.
Right, right.
This supposed to happen.
Okay, so she tells him.
She tells him. He's like, oh, that's crazy. That's so funny. Thanks for telling me. I'm not upset. Like, he was totally amused. But after the weekend was over, that Monday, he was home. He and Sasha shared a computer, and she had gone out to work. So he was, yeah, I know. The Gmail mentioned that Bunny made earlier was appropriate. So he's checking his email, and he's like, oh, she left her Gmail open. I want to see this email that she wrote to Johanna back around Halloween. So he checked that out. Not a big deal. But then in the process of looking into this thing that he already knew was there, he ended up finding at least 2 months of correspondence between his fiance and the elder gentleman that she was having an affair with, who also worked at this tech company. So
cut to, do the star-crossed lovers get together in the end?
Absolutely. They actually, so now Johanna quit her job as well, and they're in New Zealand right now, just traveling around together before they live in Australia for a year.
Oh, man,
doing
that's
God
awesome.
Knows what, but just, like,
see?
Totally being in love.
Snooping can bring two people together. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
So can the relationship show.
You know, we didn't get ourselves together, but we can bring other people together.
I'm digging for fire.
Hallie, I want to thank you for being so cool as a co-host.
I'm not sure that I really was hitting the coolness notes tonight. I was more freaking out because we kept hanging up on all these poor guests.
Oh, well, that was
But we'll
my
get
fault.
It together in time.
Look, what kind of summary do you think we need to do here?
I mean, the only thing that I have to say is if you're snooping and you can't stop, that's something to look at. If you're looking for an excuse to just get out of a bad relationship, you'll find what you're looking for and you can go ahead and pull like a trapdoor.
And if you're in a new relationship, it's okay to look inside the phone maybe now and then, just like as
you, think
you sort of iron itself out.
I wouldn't put that in my summary, but you
that's
can have it in yours.
Well, that's what Jeff said.
Jeff said that it was okay, but Jeff's coming from a like, hey, if you have nothing to hide, go for it.
Yeah, and again, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to find out the person that you're involved with that you love is like a little boring.
Yep, not too bad. All right, as we ease on out of here and make room for the Irish show, I just want to hit you with those numbers one last time. 697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Hey, Mark, do you want to bring up the music just a little bit for me so that we can go ahead and get on out of here?
Yeah. Thanks. Bye, everybody.
have a happening you want to share with WGXC's listeners? Use WGXC's community calendar to share your event. The calendar can be found at wgxc.org/events. Just use the green Add an Event button at the top of the page. Listings from the community calendar are read on air throughout the day by WGXC's hosts. Let us help you get the word out about your event.
You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Catskill, Hudson. Listener-supported hands-on radio for Green and Columbia counties.